Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, my friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am so excited that you have taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen. Today, we are having a conversation with Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, no problem. It's a pleasure to have you. Let's get started by diving right in. Have you introduce yourself and share a little bit of your story?
Yeah. So first of all, my name is pronounced Megan. I know it's kind of weird. It's spelled like Megan, but I was named after a French woman. And so it's French pronunciation. No worries at all. I'm a trauma survivor. I was the victim of sex trafficking as a child. And I also grew up in a very emotionally unhealthy, religiously strict family of origin. And it took me a long time to sort of process through all that trauma and get to a place where I was healthy. But a lot of that journey happened because I was a mom and trying to raise my kids in a healthy way. So I have 6 children. They're wonderful human beings. I am a very different mom now than I was when I started this journey 29 years ago. And I feel like my journey in healing from trauma really helped me to become a better mother. And I think I'm still learning how to be a good mom to my kids at all their various stages and learning how best to show up for them.
Yeah. So can you take us on an abbreviated version of what your healing journey looked like? What was your low point, and then how did you progress on your healing journey?
I spent a lot of years dissociating from my trauma as a coping mechanism, trying to sort of minimize it, pretend like it wasn't that big of a deal, and sort of just put my blinders on and focus on the little checklist of my life. And I don't really think that there was, in that unhealed time, a low point for me. I call it zombie mode. I was in robot mode. You know, I just was doing things, going through the motion, but not really feeling anything. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my dad actually wanted to have a conversation with me about, you know, our childhood and the kind of father he was. And that conversation really opened up all of those old wounds again. And so that did sort of set me on a spiral of poor mental health, where I was really debilitated for a long time. I was having panic attacks and I couldn't function very well. I couldn't get out of bed. I was crying all the time. And I finally said, I've got to get some kind of help. And so that's when I reached out and started receiving therapy services. And that's where my healing journey began, in the midst of, you know, parenting and all of that too. So.
Wow. Yeah. It's that moment. It's different for everybody, where you realize that, well, no, my life isn't terrible. I'm going through the motions. I'm being a productive human being. I'm checking the list. And then something happens and you're like, whoa, okay, I've got some work to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I really wasn't allowing myself to feel all of the emotions, and I wasn't allowing myself to acknowledge that I was unhappy. And so it really took that wake up call for me to realize that I had to connect with those old feelings and do the work to heal from all of that trauma before I could go forward and be really the kind of mom that I wanted to be. And that was like really my biggest concern was like, I can't be a good parent and have all of this stuff that's unresolved and, you know, be emotionally healthy for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the tips that looking back would have been helpful for you to have that you know now?
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, I started my parenting journey, I think most, like most of us do. I parented my kids the way I was parented. Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of adopting that strict mentality, that black and white thinking that came from my family of origin and projecting that onto my children. And I had a moment that I realized I really didn't want to parent that way. Mm-hmm. I realized that I wanted a healthier connection with my children, and I wanted them to know that I loved them regardless of their choices. And I started to open up to thinking like, it's okay if my kids make a different choice about their lives than I do, whereas that never would have been acceptable in my family of origin. So I started really exploring what it would look like to dive into healthy parenting instead of just being on autopilot the way that I was parented. So that really started a big part of my journey. So I guess that would be my main advice is like, examine your family of origin, because that's really where we all get modeled parenting from, and examine what things about that were healthy and you want to carry on those things to your children, and examining what things were unhealthy or things that you wish had gone different when you were a child, and then applying that to your current situation. So that's a big deal. And the other part, I think the most, the thing that has had the biggest impact on me as a parent, trying to parent my kids in a healthy way, is making it safe to have really open discussions with them. Mm-hmm. And for me, it started with me being open with them about my shortcomings and saying like, I know I didn't handle that very well. I'm really sorry. It must have hurt your feelings. Let's talk about how I should have done that better, or what you would have liked to see me do in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And treating parenting more like a relationship rather than just a role that we fill. And that has made the biggest difference, because it's allowed my children to come to me with difficult things. It's allowed both of us to admit mistakes and to repair after conflict. And it's really allowed me as a parent to view my children as individuals on this human journey that mm-hmm. I'd like to guide them through, rather than me imposing my worldview onto them and expecting them to make all the same choices that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think being able to admit your shortcomings or when you make a mistake is so powerful, and something that most of our generation being raised by the people that we were raised by didn't experience.
Right.
And I don't think they experienced it either from their parents.
Right.
So
right.
It is such a powerful way to connect with your kids, because they see that, oh, it's okay if I make a mistake, we can fix it.
Right. And helping to instill in our children this idea that mistakes are the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not perfection that's the norm. It's the mistakes that are the norm. And that when you make a mistake, it doesn't affect the way that I feel about you.
No.
I still love you. You're still a wonderful person. You know, making mm-hmm. a mistake doesn't make you a bad person. And I think there was a focus in my childhood where I was really made to feel when I made a mistake that it was because I was inherently bad, mm-hmm. you know, and that took me a long time to overcome that mentality of realizing that, of removing the shame from mm-hmm. mistake making. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I really work hard on with my kids, is to make sure that the shame doesn't even enter the conversation, that it's just okay. Yeah. And no matter what it is, you know, big things, little things. And, you know, really to make our reactions more about focusing on what is best and healthiest for our kids rather than on how we feel about it. Like, let me put my own reaction, my own emotions to the side for a minute and focus on what my child needs in this moment. I can always come back to those emotions later, right? Yeah. But what is most helpful and most needed right now is for me to focus on what my child needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And for me, when I was growing up, I associated my perfection with earning love. Mm-hmm. So that has been a tickle trunk to work through. And it's taken a long time for me to realize that what I do does not equal my worth. And So making the connection that it doesn't matter what you do, how you behave, I'm still going to love you as your mom, mm-hmm. is huge.
Yeah, definitely. I had a really consequential conversation with my oldest son when he was going through a really difficult time, and our relationship was not the greatest. We had trouble communicating with each other. And I sat down with him at one point and I said, I want you to make a list of all the things that you think I want from you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to make a list of all the things I want for you. And he did his list and I did my list. And I said, okay, now I want you to turn your paper over and I want you to write down the things that are most important to you, not what you think I want, but what you want in your life. Mm-hmm. And so he did, turned over his paper and wrote it down. And he showed me the list that he made that he thought were my expectations. And it was a typical checklist of like getting good grades, going to a good school, getting a good job, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when he turned over his paper, the first thing that he had listed that he wanted in his life was to be happy. And I showed him my paper, and the only thing that I had listed on my paper that I wanted for him was for him to be happy. Mm-hmm. And it was a really watershed moment for us because I said, look, we have the same goal. We both want you to be happy. And yes, there's a checklist over here that maybe those things are important to think about, but that's not what I want for you. What I really want for you is happiness. And I'd like for us to figure out together what the best way is to accomplish that in your life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's powerful.
It was powerful. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out when I started. I was like, well, I hope this is at least, I hoped at least it would be a good discussion, you know?
Yeah.
Because I really did perceive that there were some misconceptions. Like he thought that I really wanted him to do all these things. And I was like, I know that's sort of the cultural thing. Right. And it's the sort mm-hmm. of typical, like, oh, my parents have these expectations of me, but we really need to communicate about that with our kids. Cause I think they make that assumption based on what our teachers tell them and, you know, what other kids tell them, what other parents tell them. And it's important to make sure that we're on the same page, that we understand each other.
Yeah. I think that is huge, being on the same page with your kid and kind of becoming a team.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of me as the authority figure and you as the person who's going to do what I say, regardless of how you feel about it, you know?
Yeah. So what is one piece of encouragement that you would give to a mama who is just starting her healing journey?
I know that it feels overwhelming, and that was hard for me too. I thought to myself, like, how can I dig into this hugely overwhelming, horrible trauma and still show up for my kids? I think that the one thing that I can say is that prioritizing your mental health is going to make you a better parent. Mm-hmm. And so while it feels kind of selfish to spend a lot of time and emotional energy fixing your own stuff, it's ultimately what is going to be the best for your children. And I can testify 100% that my kids knowing about my trauma and knowing about the journey that I went through to heal it has helped them to understand that I cared enough about them to prioritize fixing that so that I could show up for them in better ways. And being open with that, with my children, with my journey, has made it easier for them to explore their own mental health and to, you know, seek out their own therapy. And I'm talking more about my older kids now. I have two that are still home, one who's 17 and one who's 14, and the other four are grown and living their own lives right now. But as adults, they saw me prioritize my mental health. And that was a good lesson for them to take forward. They saw me prioritize healthy relationships. They saw me prioritize healthy communities and involvement with healthy organizations. And they saw me leave and exit systems that felt abusive and oppressive. And that was a great lesson for them, as they've told me, to like examine the relationships in their own lives and examine all of the interactions that they have with other people, and are they healthy or are they not healthy? Whereas if I had just, I think, waited for my kids to all be gone before I addressed my trauma, number one, I don't think we would have the good relationships that we do now. Number two, I think I would have probably re-traumatized. I probably would have traumatized them based on my reactions to my own trauma. And I also don't think that my kids would have had that healthy perspective of like, oh, this is what it looks like to show up for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said. Learning, showing your kids how to show up for yourself and how to take care of their mental health through your example is huge. How old were your kids when you started your healing journey?
So my oldest daughter was 7. I had a 7, a 4, a 2, and a newborn.
Oh, wow.
When I had that sort of parental awakening that my parenting needed to change, I hadn't started to address my trauma, but I had started to address the unhealthy generational cycles that were going on in my family. The true awakening for me didn't happen until my oldest daughter was almost a senior in high school. And so all 6 of them were at home at that point. I was working full time. My spouse at the time had started a business and was making almost $0. And so it was a really stressful time for our family. You know, my youngest was 4 years old at the time. So I had 6 children from the ages of 16 to 4. And I was working full time as a teacher, which we all know is more than 40 hours a week.
That's stressful.
You know? So it was not a good time. And I honestly thought to myself, like, do I have time to check myself into a mental hospital? Because I was that traumatized. I had so much abuse to process, a lifetime of abuse to process. And I just didn't know where I was going to find the time or the resources to dig into it. But I just went into it thinking, okay, I'm going to work on this one thing. I'm going to work on, actually, the first thing that I went into therapy for was to work on my relationship with my parents, because that's what was triggering the panic attacks and everything, was that conversation with my father. And the more that I worked on that relationship, the more I was able to recognize unhealthy dynamics in other relationships and situations in my life. So I did talk therapy for probably 3.5 years before I started really digging into the trauma part of everything. So it was definitely, it's like peeling back layers, you know.
Yeah, it's very oniony.
Yes, it's very, very oniony. Yeah.
Wow. I know teacher life, been there, done that. That is stressful on top of having 6 kids at home. You are so strong. Thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your story and paying it forward for other mamas. Is there a way that our listeners can reach out to you? Where's the best place for them to reach out for you if they want to.
Yeah. So I have a website. It's called Third Verse. It's third-verse.com. And it's like, my childhood was my first verse and my marriage was my second verse. And this is my third verse. I'm the one who's writing it finally for the first time. But on that website, I have a lot of resources for healing. There's also, I also do coaching, but there's a link to a free session, because I really like to talk to people before I ask them to pay for anything, because I want to see if we're a good fit for each other. And if we're not, I can plug them into other resources. You can also download my free How to Find a Therapist guide on my website. That's a struggle for a lot of people. And then I have two books that are on Amazon. One's called I Walked Through Fire to Get Here, and the other's called 100 Ways to Practice Self-Care. And my social media outlets are all YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok are all at @third_verse. And I post a lot of content, mostly on Instagram, just about healing in general, about calling out abusive systems, about showing up for yourself, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really passionate about helping other moms.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.